Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. A little bit more of a depressing vibe, but like the devil said, you can't lose in six
Bro, Johnny, I got news for you, dude. Don't pun ever again. Since you fucking started, we've lost two straight. Just shut up and keep
moving. I've jinxed everything.
Yeah. No puns. No puns. Rangers in six. That's it.
I mean, I said my piece on Twitter yesterday. I posted that video.
You reenact it for us?
What?
What?
I'm not going to reenact it, but I could plug it in the episode if you guys want that, which I doubt you do. But Cody, let's hear it. You're the fucking jinx, man. You came to game four and they sucked.
First of all, I'm the
I'm 8-0 in the last
game. I was 8-0 last year, games. Okay? And it's not my fucking fault. Those little cheapos decided not to give us t-shirts, and that's what fucking made us lose, okay? They decided to give us bracelets that break after 3 minutes. I sat down in my seat, and my bracelet was already like four rows in front of me on the floor somewhere, okay? So maybe the Rangers shelled out a little fucking dough for the boys, especially for families spending $400 on 200-level seats like myself and hard workers. It would be nice.
You're so rich.
It would be nice for a little fucking appreciation to get, you know, a t-shirt. That's all I'm saying.
Game six, maybe.
I'm not going to game six, so that doesn't help me.
Why don't you buy some tickets?
Because I'm never spending money on the Rangers again. I'm done.
Okay, well, Avery is really quiet over there. I know he's down in the dumps right now, but what's your vibe?
Johnny, I'm thrilled. I'm so happy that we just lost two at home. So happy.
Avery, you'll appreciate this. A kid came up to me at the Garden the other night and screamed like, "Yo, where's Avery?" And I was like, "I don't know, in his seats probably."
I was in my seats. Yep, watching that. Yeah. No, it hasn't been great. You obviously don't want to lose two at home, but happens, and now we're here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll just say it now. You know, another spin zone. The Devils now have all the pressure. The road team has won every game, and game five is in Jersey, and if the Devils blow this opportunity to win at home, guess what? Rangers coming home up 3-2 with the chance to close it out at home ice. We said Rangers in six all along. This is the exact narrative we wanted. We got them right where we want them.
Hey, Jack, it's Johnny from the Hockey News. Will you find my microphone?
Cody's been doing that for like 10 minutes before we started recording. I'm happy you actually
did that. That's exactly why. If you're watching the video version, that's why I was laughing in the beginning, because Cody was just doing it before. But yeah, no, that is Johnny. Yeah, he's just laughing it up with Akira Schmidt after he fucking beat us twice.
Hey, Akira, what tips did Martin give you?
Like, bro, you think we care what tips Martin gave him? We haven't tested this guy in two fucking games now. We have like 40 shots on goal in two games, okay? Maybe one high danger chance, okay? Lafreniere, number one overall pick, doesn't know how to use his fucking backhand and misses a wide open goal because he tries doing like a 360 spinorama zone from a cartoon. Like, what are you doing? Okay?
I mean, that game was just horrible. There's no other way to say it. Like, the Devils were just all over them right from the jump. Jack Hughes, that early goal just sucked the life out of the building.
I don't even know if it did, because after that goal, there was a massive "Let's Go Rangers" chant, and everybody was still going nuts. And then I think after watching the team for a period not know how to skate forward and, like, literally slipping on themselves. I don't even know what – the ice wasn't that slippery, because clearly the Devils players weren't slipping sliding. Yeah. But we couldn't skate for shit, okay? Keandre Miller might have fell like four different times. I don't know what he was doing, but I don't know, man. I think it was a trap game. And honestly, the Devils, they played the 1-2-2 the entire game. Yeah. They locked us the fuck down at the blue line. We could not get past their blue line for 60 straight minutes because they were playing that 1-2-2. And they literally took that out of the fucking Islanders playbook. Remember 2 years ago when they had that sick defense and they would literally play the 1-2-2 trap every single game and lock this down? They literally took it out of that playbook and they fucking owned us.
Hockey guy Cody over here.
Yeah.
Fucking X's and O's.
Yeah, no, he's right. It was weird. Yeah. Like, even when we had our chance in the offensive zone, we just didn't win the faceoff. So it was like, we got the puck in, we got our chance, we got our faceoff, and we just didn't win it. We didn't get the possession. That's where it trickled down to, is that we just didn't have good possession and we couldn't keep possession because they were just they were all over us. It was crazy. The flip from 1-2 to 3-4 was exactly like polar opposites of each other.
And you know what's also crazy? When Trocheck scored that goal, you felt like we were going to win the game. Like, yeah. I was like, wow, this is a game we've gotten dominated on and just crushed. And Trocheck,
it felt like game five Penguins.
Yeah, yeah. No, because remember game four against – or maybe it was the Hurricanes. Game one – no, game two, we got owned. We owned them but lost. And then game three, they owned us, but we stole a game. Remember? And
game two Hurricanes was the shutout. We got shut out in that game. Yeah, it was like 2-0 in Carolina.
Correct, but we outplayed them. We outshot them like by 15 shots. Like, we outplayed them all game.
I don't really remember that game, honestly, so well. There was like I was actually at like a Rangers viewing party. Like, they actually was sick. They were giving out like free beer, free food at some place in New York. But all
right, well,
yeah.
Anyway,
let's not harp on that game too much. I guess
let's move forward. What do the boys need to do to get their shit together and close this out?
Avery, you want to start this one?
Yeah, I think they just need to change their approach. Obviously, games one and two, they kind of put the Devils, you know, they surprised them. They came out, they scored 10 goals in two games, and then you come back and you score two goals in two games, exactly what the Devils did. And like I said, polar opposites. Games flipped, and now it's a retooling type thing. You got 2 days to watch film, 2 days to figure it out, get back on the horse, and you just play one game at a time.
Well, I think another big difference, too, is the lack of success in the power play. Like, had they scored one power play goal or two power play, you know, I think that's changed the whole outcome. Like, yeah, but they clearly thrive off their power play. Like, that's what gets them going. It's what got them going in game one. It got them going in game two. And when the power play doesn't convert, you know, this is the result we're seeing in games three and games four. So,
yeah,
I think the one positive takeaway and something that I think, you know, is something that we can look forward to in game five is Igor is still, you know, looking for a game. Maybe he could steal. Igor's been great, and you can't deny that.
Dude, Igor's outplayed their team two games in a row. And we fucking lost two games. So
he's been the best player in the series, I think, in my mind. You know, for both teams. Yeah.
I think for me, it's now becoming about shutting down Jack Hughes. It wasn't that games one and two, but now, dude, two games back to back, he's single-handedly, one could argue, won his team the game. And I just think, you know, he's obviously the focal point of that offense. And we got to hit him. We got, like, I don't know why, when we got soft, because games one and two, we were lighting everybody up, setting the tone. And yesterday, we did it for about 3 minutes, like the end of that second period. Remember the last 4 minutes of that period?
Foxy actually laid a big hit on Hughes.
Yeah, Fox went off. Like, Trouba had a big hit. Guys were back to normal, and then all of a sudden it disappeared again.
Hughes also laid a big hit on Trocheck too after that, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. If we don't set the tone, and if we don't, you know, use our forecheck, and if we don't get aggressive with these guys, like, we're not going to win. It's okay to draw a penalty if it's a smart penalty that will energize the team. So I think we just need to do that shit and score some goals. And, you know,
it's a weird series, though, because it's not like I still just can't get over the fact, like, the Devils have scored, what, six goals in four games.
I mean, five goals.
2-2 really. Series. Well, at the empty netter, you know, I think it was 3-1, 2-1, then 1-1. Correct. So seven goals.
3-2, 1-1. Yeah, so six goals. You're right.
No, seven.
No, but six actual goals.
Yeah. One empty netter. But, like, that's what's weird, right? Like, seven goals in four games, and this series is 2-2. If I told you the Rangers only allowed seven goals in four games, you'd probably think they were up fucking – you probably think they'd swept.
Yeah. You know? And, well, if you told me that they had fucking Mika Zibanejad, Panarin, Kane, and Tarasenko on their team, and Fox, you know, I probably would have called you crazy. But
I'm Kreider.
Who am I?
Yeah. But – I think, you know, we don't want to stay too negative. Should we go into the fan questions or any final thoughts before we do that? Avery, you've been a little quiet. What's going on in your brain?
Yeah, it's just tough. Like, I honestly texted you guys after the game and I just said, I don't really even know what I'm going to say on the podcast, because you never want to go down like this. But at the same time, it's like, we've been here. I said it on the way home to my brother the whole time. I just said, I have never in my entire life seen the Rangers win a series in five games. I just haven't. And it's not going to happen.
No, dude, Pittsburgh.
I have.
Yeah. We beat Pittsburgh in five in like
2017,
maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. Before the Senator series, before we got fucking upset.
Well, then that just goes to show you how. Well, yeah.
How do you not know that, bro?
Well, yeah. That just goes to show you how I've like felt.
Johnny Lazarus from the Hockey News.
Oh, sorry.
That just goes to show you how I felt about the past, you know, 20 years I've been watching the Rangers. It's just, it just doesn't feel that way, at least. Like, yeah. I guess it's happened and I forgot that, obviously. But like, if you want to use one against, you know, how many playoff series we've seen, it's just it's an outstandingly outlying number. So it's just like, it's tough.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the Rangers are notorious for loving to make it hard on themselves. Like, they cannot make things easy. You know, I think we could all agree a sweep wasn't in the cards, most likely, but
I don't know. We were talking sweep last time. No.
We felt pretty good about them winning in five games. Like, once you're up to, you know, whatever. But again, you've seen what happened with Tampa. So we just need to flip the narrative and get back to our game. Like, Gallant has to make a fucking change. Like, that, you know, I know he's not an X's and O's guy, whatever, but like, dude, this is the time when you get locked down two games in a row, like, you got to make some change, even if it's like one or two, like putting Mika back on the fucking left dot, make one little switch, like, you know, whatever. Just, I mean, the kid line hasn't been very effective. Swap that up. Like, you know, like, just do something. Do something. Do anything. Like, now's the time.
You know what's crazy, too? Oh, sorry. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, like, for some reason, I don't really like messing with the lines. I don't. I have this, like, mental thought of, like, how big chemistry is and, you know, how you can really build off of it. And I just think, like, if they just change, like, they won two games with those lines and they dominated in those two games, just change your approach. Like, there's ways to change things without having to mess with lines, because I think they've shown that they can play well together. Like, there's no reason that the Devils just adjusted better. They tweaked their lines a little bit, but it hasn't been anything.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Crazy. Yeah.
I'm not saying get crazy. Like, switch Mott and Lafreniere or something. Like, Lafreniere's sucked.
Listen, I texted you guys this and I noticed this 100% that the series changed when Lindy got that chance to start mismatching that. So we were playing our fourth line a lot against the Hughes line, and it was working because our fourth line was actually holding them to pretty much nothing. Hughes had his chances, but like, they didn't really score. The second they matched that Hughes line with the Panarin line, it completely changed the series. Obviously that line is great. We know what they're capable of, but at the same time, they're a little inept defensively, and they've struggled defensively. And a guy like Hughes is going to make you pay every single time. And I think Trocheck scored that goal when they were mismatched. I'm pretty sure the Devils' third or fourth line was out there when they scored that goal. So it just goes to show, like, the coaching right now, that there's obviously a little bit of changes that need to be made. But I don't think you go too crazy, you know?
Yeah. No. I'm with you. I mean, I just want like a swap of the like. To me, Lafreniere has not done much, you know, and the fourth line's been great. Honestly, the fourth line could be argued that it was our best line. Reward someone and put them on the third and swap them.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I was just going to say something crazy too, which I actually like just tweeted out. Last year's playoffs, the Rangers lost two games at home the entire playoff run and we're 0-2 to start this playoff off. So I don't know what changed, because last year they were money on home ice and, for whatever reason, they just didn't show up. I mean, at least in game four. Game three, they weren't lucky. Terrible. I thought they were the better team still in game three, but last night there was just no excuse.
Lucky for us, we're about to play three straight home games, so hopefully we have some more chances.
But to that point, you guys want to go into some questions, because we actually have some good ones and they're not all negative.
Let's do it.
All right, so the first one we got from John C. Leo. Will a two-day break be good for the Rangers?
Absolutely. I think 100%. Normally I would say – I can't take it as a fan to have two nights off in playoffs. Like I think a lot of Rangers fans are mentally taxed right now from just losing these last two. I think not only is it going to be good for the players, but the fans as well. I think, you know, today, obviously everybody is, you know, at the time we record this, it's what's today's date? Today's Tuesday. So when this comes out, it'll be Wednesday, but you know, everybody Tuesday was probably a little like depressed and, you know, they need to recoup. And I think the players do too. And then, really, really get into it Wednesday and Thursday and come to play. That's it. That's all I can say is come to play and, you know, wipe the slate clean. It's 0-0, 1-2.
Did you guys see that tweet that I sent to the group chat? That guy that tweeted at Vince?
No, work's been crazy today, but I need to catch up on that.
Well, so I just want to read this out loud because this was a wild take. But the Rangers had an off day today. Obviously, I think it's much needed. They looked really sluggish last night. But this guy tweeted, off day? Athletes making millions of dollars underperforming against an opponent. They had a 2-0 series lead. And they have an off day? Come make a salary under 100K a year like me with no days off. Sounds like Damn. That guy needs a new job.
Yo, I don't know if he's wrong, though. No,
what? Come on, dude. Yeah, they're
they need one. Athletes. No, they need... They need an off day. They need to regroup mentally. They need to like figure their shit out. And honestly, I don't know about you guys, and I don't want to put this on one guy, but if they do not come to play on Thursday, that's on fucking Gallant. And it might be a bold statement, but I think that's on him because he has this time now as a very good coach and a coach at a possible Stanley Cup to figure your shit out. You have 2 days. And you need to stop this fucking freight train that's been coming for us the last fucking 2 games.
Mm-hmm. Also, to the point of it benefiting the Rangers, I feel like when, you know, the vibes are really high in the locker room like they are with the Devils right now, you're just so angsty to get back on the ice and get playing again. So to have that extra day for them to, like, you know, not be as all fired up maybe might help a little bit. You know, I don't know if that's obviously a stat or anything, but that's just like a vibe that I always got when hockey was going, Cody's squeezing his stress ball right now, when hockey was going well. So yeah, I think this is definitely an advantage in favor of the Rangers for sure. Avery, any thoughts on it? Cause I know we skip over you in questions sometimes.
No, it's okay.
He's a deep thinker, bro.
No, I am. And I've had time to do a lot of thinking, but at the end of the day, like, they just have to take this break and watch film and just like I've been saying, reassess. You just got to, listen, it's a game-to-game thing. It's not like you plan – it's not like the NFL where you plan all week and you have to watch a ton of film to figure it out. Like, the playoffs are so different. Like, you just got 2 games. You got to figure out how they beat you, and then you go back and beat them. And it's just like they know that they can do it. They've shown that they can do it. It's just a matter of fact of going back on the ice, playing 60 minutes. When you dump the puck, have a purpose, go get it, be the first on pucks. That's been the issue, is that they, you know, the last 2 games, they weren't first on pucks, whether it was going back into the defensive zone, going into the offensive zone. But there's really not much more you can just sit back and micromanage. They just have to do their job. And they've been able to do their job in previous years. They didn't get to the Stanley Cup, but they did a damn really, really damn good job in getting to a position where they gave themselves a chance. And listen, at the end of the day, we just got to hope and pray as fans. We can't go out there on the ice. We just got to have faith. That's it.
It all comes down to execution, right? At the end of the day. All right, let's go into the next one. I'm not going to ask all these questions because a lot of them obviously are repetitive on things we've talked about and, you know, whatever. But this is a good one from Bobby Christ 1. What player's game have you been happiest with this series and most disappointed in?
Capo Caco, no doubt. I mean, obviously Igor is the obvious answer, but to me,
happiest, you're saying?
Happiest, yeah. I think Capo Caco has had a really, really good series. You know, obviously you'd like to see him score more and put up on the point sheet, but I think every shift this kid's been taking has been incredibly noticeable. He was fighting tooth and nail yesterday to stay in their offensive zone when nobody else could. So he'd be the guy I'm happiest with. And, you know, most disappointed, I mean, is obviously Mika. I mean, he's been pathetic. But if I'm not going to go with the obvious there, I'm going to say Keandre Miller because, you know, he's had a pretty disappointing series. I think he's had a lot of sloppy turnovers and he's just been playing careless, honestly. How about you guys?
It's a good answer. Yeah. I mean, do you want me to go, Avery? Or you want to go?
You go.
I'd say happiest. I think, you know, the obvious to me would be Kreider. You know, 5 goals, 4 games. Like, I think, you know, everyone wanted Kreider to step up once again, and he has. You know, if it weren't for Kreider, who knows what the series would be right now. Yep. So I'm going to say Kreider for my happiest, and I feel like that's, you know, obviously the chalk answer, but, you know, we've needed him. So, you know, hopefully he can get a big one again in Game 5. And then I think for me, the disappointment, man, it's a tough question because just I'm trying to think, like, who stood out in a negative way. And
Lafreniere.
Maybe, like, I don't want to say Hedl, but I maybe expected more from Hedl, if that makes sense. The kid line's been good. Don't get me wrong. They've been really solid at 5-on-5, but I thought they'd maybe have a little bit more of an impact.
Presence, bigger presence.
You know, yeah, Hedl quieted down scoring as the season wound down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously going back to last year, we all have this, like, preconceived notion that Hedl's this playoff performer, which he was last year. So I thought, you know, he has a goal in the series, but it was an empty netter. So yeah, maybe I just thought Hedl would have a goal or two at 5-on-5 by now. So I'm going to say Hedl.
I'm not going to pick a specific player, but the positive for sure has been the fourth line, and the negative has been everybody but the fourth line. when I'm serious when I say it, the fourth line has not only done everything they could to set the tone, they've done their job every single time they stepped on the ice. I've had no issues with them, and I think they tried to spark the crowd. They go for big hits. There was one shift where they just came out and they were hitting everything they possibly could. VZ was chopping at Hughes. Like, it was just an all-out, ready-to-go brawl. Like, he tried to give the top line something to feed off of, and they just didn't feed off of it. And I truly believe that the fourth line is doing everything they can to keep us in this series, and I respect every bit of it. And it was fun to watch them. They were really the only thing that, like, gave me a little bit of juice to think that we could come back and win the game.
Yeah, okay. No, that's a good answer. Some of these questions, like, you know, Anthony Gubernail 19, why do we tend to turn down the intensity at home? I don't think that's necessarily true. Like, what would you guys say to that?
I don't think we turn down the intensity. I think we just...
I think game three, they were just playing too comfortable up 2-0. Like, they weren't desperate. Yeah, they weren't very urgent. You know?
Yeah, I mean had they been sure down 2-0, game four, no doubt, the intensity was not there by any means. But I would assume that's to a lack of them not knowing how to skate and literally not being able to skate, you know, in three strides before losing the puck the entire game. It was like, honestly, it was like a game of fucking Tetris I was watching or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I just think they turned up. I think the Devils turned up. I don't think we like turned down at all. I think they just turned up and it surprised us and we just didn't adjust well. It's all about adjustments.
Yeah. Let's go into the next one from Krasinski Charlie. What's the one thing we can do better as a collective to get into the zone?
Shoot the puck.
To get into the zone?
Oh, I didn't hear that last part. I thought I just heard.
What do you think it said?
I thought you said, what is just one thing we can do better as a team?
Oh, no, to get into the zone. So,
to get into the offensive zone?
Yeah, those are just like wingers and centers, like switching routes, maybe picking up more speed. Like, they were flat-footed a lot at the blue line last night. Like, think about how many times like Foxy or Keandre made a pass from the D zone to the far blue line on the guy, like the guy on the wall, and they were standing still and missed the puck.
Or stop trying to fucking dish it across the neutral zone, like literally across the ice, and having it be a turnover one in every three fucking possessions. Mm-hmm. Like I that happened countless times yesterday, just careless like. The one thing I did notice about the Devils is they're playing incredibly tight pressure on the Rangers. Mm-hmm. So even when we're going behind Igor and taking the puck behind the net, like, a Devils player is coming after us. And I've noticed in the last two games that they're like, their conditioning is pretty legit because they're playing like right on us, kind of like basketball, like full court press. Like, that's what they've been. I know you like that basketball reference.
That was good.
That's what they've been doing to us. Like, they've honestly been pressing us, and it's getting guys nervous. They're throwing away the puck, and it's getting fucking taken away. Mm-hmm. So I think they just need to be smarter with the puck. That would be my takeaway.
Avery, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to.
I got nothing.
Next question.
All right. This one, I know this is going to rile the both of you up. Perry Kunivelis, is playoff Panarin starting to be an actual concern? I know the production's not there, but he's getting chances and he's creating plays and he's making shit happen. It's just not going in. Like, he had three great A's in game three. We talked about that last episode. Game four, he didn't have as many opportunities. He had one-timer that I think it happened in the first period, a sick play by Fox, like through his legs to Mika, and then like a quick like one-touch pass over Panarin, and he got a good one-timer off. Shmi was there to make the save, but I don't think Panarin, you know, if you don't look at production and you're just doing eye tests, I don't think Panarin's been bad at all in this series.
No, I know he's been fine. He's had his chances. He just hasn't been able to put it in the net. And listen, it happens for everybody. And you talked about it a little bit in your video, but Mika and Kreider hadn't stepped up that whole Pittsburgh series until towards the end. So it's just like, it happens. Everybody finds their own way, whether it's, you know, in games 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, doesn't matter. Panarin will find his way. I really believe that.
Same. Next one from Drew_Snipes. What are three keys for the team to score on tall goaltenders that differ from average ones? Great question. I could take this one if you guys want.
Take it.
So I think the three keys, obviously, when you have a taller goalie, you know, you want to shoot lower typically, because obviously when you shoot up high, they're going to have a higher chance to smother it. Goalies with the longer legs more likely to give out a rebound. So, you know, typically when I would come down, you know, in my playing days on a taller goalie, I'd aim low, you know, try to go low blocker side typically, because the blocker side is the hardest place to make a save. And, you know, as far as these tall guys go, you want to get them moving side to side. You want to open them up. You want to spread them out because they take up a lot of the net. So if they're moving side to side, there is some more open space, you know, obviously, as opposed to a typical smaller goalie where you actually have room to shoot. So I think the Rangers need to move the puck from side to side. They have to, you know, I know we don't want to see them make pretty plays and make the extra passes, but that's what they're going to have to do to beat Schmid. You know, obviously Trocheck scores 5-hole, Kreider comes down and snipes one on the 2-on-1. But, you know, I think those are particular things like the Trocheck goal. I think they need to do more of just getting pucks from the point to the net and having traffic there. Cause yeah. If they block Schmid's vision, then, you know, that'll only help. But as far as those,
No, sorry. Just keep going, and then I'll jump.
I was just saying, the tall guys are hard to score on. I mean, you look like Jake Ottinger. Mm-hmm. You know, Ben Bishop is another one in the past that was tough to play against. And you know, you got to get these guys moving side to side. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah, and there were also a lot of opportunities to put in a rebound, and just nobody was there. And
so many rebounds
for them. You noticed, and that's why Igor got hurt. Every single time the Devils are coming down the ice, Nico Hischier is crashing the net. Every single time. He maybe did it eight different times last night. And, and you know, I noticed, like, we didn't do it once. And Kreider does it on power plays, of course, but I think we need to do it a little bit more, you know, when it's 5-on-5, because there were three different chances that it passed Schmid and nobody was there to tap it in.
Sammy Hockey 36. The Rangers winning the battle on the boards is a concern. Can they fix that in game 5? That's just compete level. You know, I think the Rangers won most battles in games 1 and 2, even game 3, honestly. It's really just compete level. That's not a, you know, strategic thing. It's all about how engaged you are in the game.
Agreed.
The Devils had an historic year in their franchise. They weren't going to come into Madison Square Garden and get rolled over. They played their best hockey they could have possibly played, and the Rangers just didn't step up to the plate. Now they know they have to. Now there's a lot more pressure. Best of 3 series, doesn't matter who's got home ice, whatnot. It's been proven that it doesn't matter. Just go out and get a win. That's it.
Yep.
All right. Next one.
Preferably 2 wins.
Yeah.
Our boy, MY Rocky 93. What's it going to take for the Rangers to get that killer mentality? Should be up 3-1. I think it's just right now. I think, you know, I made the joke last game.
This is their wake up call. That's it.
I made the joke that it wasn't a must win. It's a can't lose. But now this is a must win. We're in must win territory.
Yeah.
And last year, when their backs were against the wall, there was no better team, you know, in the must win territory last year in the playoffs than the Rangers. So that's why I'm fully confident. Like, their backs have been against the wall in these positions before, and they've always overcome the adversity. So, you know, I think that killer mentality starts right now and starts going into game 5.
Agreed.
Nothing.
100%. All right. No, 100%.
Okay.
Hundo P, bro. J-Bo.
Cody, this is your boy, right?
What?
Cody, I think this is your boy, J-Bo 2727.
My boy, he's your boy too, bro. I'm gonna tell him you fucking.
Our boy.
That. Yeah.
Well, you said, why is Kane not in the fourth line?
it's valid, but don't tell Avery. No,
no,
I'm
it's
kidding.
Not.
No, he's been, it's not valid at all. He's not on the fourth line because he's a guy who can literally change the dynamic of the game on one possession when the puck is in his hand stick, but he hasn't done that a couple games, and you know, you see the result. Like, but it's not just a him thing. The whole fucking team got shut down. I mean, I don't know if there were 3 players yesterday that played the game well. Like, I say Igor and Kako, and that's it. I don't think anybody. Yeah. And you know, if you want to say one of the fourth liners like Mott played whatever, but like, we're not settling for fine. We want good games out of these guys, especially our producing guys like Kane, Tarasenko, Kreider, Zibby. You know, we just need more from all of them. And I think it's a collective effort, and you really can't just point to one guy there. It's like, it's a team thing. And Igor's been fucking gem after gem, and you don't want to see him waste anymore. So,
yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, group effort. That's it. Cody's right. It takes a team to win the game. It's not going to be one individual effort. It takes everybody. It's every guy on the bench has to do their job.
All right, I'm going to skip over a few here just because they're a little repetitive. But this one from, we've got
175.
Six left?
Six left?
Well, there's a lot. I'm trying to skip through. So this is Willie White 17. Other than Trouba, who's giving the team a talk and hyping them up? I would say it's going to be Kane and Tarasenko. That's why they're here. You know, I could see Patty Kane stepping up and saying
Kreider.
Something in the locker room. I don't know. I feel like Kreider's not much of a speaker.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just gut. I mean, I'm not in the room, so that's just gut feeling. You know,
I agree with Johnny.
I feel like that's why they're here, you know, to help teach and help these situations. This is okay. So this is an interesting one. Brandon Rising, will Shesterkin want out if they don't advance? I say definitely not even a thought.
That's ridiculous. Do we even have to answer that?
No. Okay, so we'll skip to this last one. This is Adam Monty 27. He wrote, "Yikes, Game 5 must win now." was Game 4 the worst playoff performance in years? Yes.
First and foremost, like we've only played like, you know, 1 year of playoff games in the past, I don't know, since 2017, but I can't remember a game where we played worse, maybe in 2014
when we had games.
No, in general, like
that I think was, back to game four against Pittsburgh last year, that 7-2 routing, fucking ass. No,
this game was worse, dude. I'm telling you, man, like a score aside, I don't know what I was watching for 60 minutes. They could not skate. It was like, it was literally like watching the Bad News Bears. Like pucks were going past them, dude. They were like kicking it back to the fucking
Bad News Bears. That's a wild reference.
I mean, dude, like pucks were going past them. They were kicking it to the point. It was going through their legs. Like you can't make that shit up. The only guy who came to play is Igor, and Igor was like Billy Bob Thornton trying to get the boys, you know, back to the normal cells. Well, maybe swigging a drink in between periods, who knows, but you know, I think, to me, that was the worst. That was honestly might've been the worst playoff game I've ever been to ever.
That's probably right there, but it was a tough one for sure. It was not fun to be there,
and the prices were probably 12 times as much as that Tampa game was.
Tampa was Eastern Conference final.
Tampa was like to go to the Stanley Cup.
Idiot.
Yeah, you moron.
All right, that's gonna do it for fan questions. I feel like I'm just like
Lazarus, the hockey news.
I feel like we're punishing Avery this entire time. He just looks so upset the whole recording.
I'm bummed, he's ready to fucking. You would think if you saw Avery's this, you would think I like came
diehard on the show. You're the biggest diehard on the show. It's not even a question.
Yeah, I guess.
But I guess do we want to give our game 5 prediction or just wrap it up and
Rangers win. That is the game 5 prediction, because if they lose, the series is over. They're not winning in 7. I can't see them winning in 7 if they lose the game. If they win the game, they're going to win the series, and they're going to win it in fucking 6, because that's what my boys do. And that's Avery?
They're winning in 7, brother. I really just think that the script is so obvious.
Yeah.
So obvious. Like
that is Rangers in 7.
Yeah, because first of all, I've never seen a flip-flop like that ever.
Yeah.
You score 10 goals, let up 2, and you only score 2 in the next 2, both on the road and then back at home. Yeah. It just didn't sit right with me. I had a feeling there's something up, so I think that the Devils win in game 5, and I think the Rangers win in game 6, and then also win in game 7.
I think the Rangers take both. I said Rangers and 6 baby. Start. I said Rangers and 6 start, and I'm sticking to my guns.
Likewise. Okay. Likewise.
And I would love nothing more than to do the can't win in 6 if you don't lose.
I don't want you to ever do a pun again. Like, let's just leave it as Johnny. You're good at some things, not many things, out? But some
should
things.
Should I cut that?
No, don't cut it out.
No more puns, dude. No more.
But yeah, I think that's gonna wrap it up for today's episode. We're gonna record again on Friday for the episode Saturday before Game 6.
Dude, what's on your face? Oh, never mind. It's just your nose. All right, keep going.
Okay. I guess we'll talk about it Friday, but maybe we'll do some kind of meetup again for Game 6 if the Rangers win Game 5. It all depends on the vibes, but
if they win, I'll hang out. I promise.
Okay, cool. And if they don't win Game 5, I'm sure we'll all tuck ourselves away.
We can watch Game 6 together and fucking hold hands.
Although last year when they were down 3-2 against the Penguins, that Game 6 watch party was fucking awesome at the 13th step, Cody.
Was that game 6 or game 5? Yeah,
that was game 6. That was when they came back.
That was unreal. But the difference was we had a game of momentum and we were a little like, all right, maybe there's a chance. Like it's literally 2-2.
That was, I don't know the way you said that. I don't know why that sounded so funny to me. Maybe there's a, you sounded like, I don't know, some kind of actor maybe. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. I get that a lot, but, that's it. I mean, let's fucking do this thing and let's close these fuckers out. And when you let a fly linger too long, they They just fucking go in your mouth. That's it. Fuck it.
I don't even on that. Jesus, I don't even, what was that?
I don't even know what I was trying to say, but just, you know, when you
just let say LFGR, let's end this thing.
All right. LFGR, baby.